Amen. It is truly good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
On this morning, I would like to direct your minds to the topic of the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. There are so many people that desires prayer. There are so many that ask for prayer. And then there's a whole multitude that are praying. I would like to start out by saying all prayer, or all that pray, are not acceptable unto God. No one ever want to hear that your prayer is not acceptable unto God. So let us get our lives in order in a fashion that when we pray, that God is recognizing who we are and He is hearing our prayers. Now, it's not in the lesson, but I want you to understand. And some may say that there's more or less, but I say that there's three possible answers to prayer. One is you're granted what you're praying for. Another is a very simple no. And then there's one where we just have to wait. And the answer is all in God's control. And as we think about praying, there are many postures of prayer. And I'm only going to name a few. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, there are the outstretched hands. That's a posture of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And I don't think that's right, Brother Brian. I'm missing something there, right? Well, so it be. Read verse 8 for us.
I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
In a hurry again, right? Lifting up holy hands. Let's go to Psalm 121, 1, 2, 1 and 2. Looking up to heaven. You know, there are so many times that, as Brother Glenn stated, let us bow our heads. And that's just a posture of prayer now. There's no sin in that. But here in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, Psalmist writes, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He looked up into heaven. The hills are where? They're in the heavens, just in the atmosphere. So it's alright if you don't bow your head. It's alright if you do not lift up holy hands, outstretched hands. It's all right if you do not want to bend your knees. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. Now, you figure out your best posture to pray unto God. The important thing that we realize is that we need to pray. We need to have this communication with God. find here in verse 41, it says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Give thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Elijah prayed that it might rain. And his prayer was to God, because God is in control of all things. But he was on bended knee. Now, I heard a lady say just the other day that there are those that pray sometimes, and when they're praying, they fall asleep. And she made the comment, well, it's hard to fall asleep when you're on your knees, because she's not accustomed to sleeping on her knees. But it's okay if you're laying in your bed and you're awakened in the middle of the night and you begin to pray and God gives you that comfort and you go back to sleep. It's okay if you're riding down the road without closing your eyes now, and you want to pray to God. It's okay. The important thing is that we realize that we need to pray. How often should we pray? How often should we pray? There are some that only pray when they get in trouble. There are others that only pray when something good happens in their life. There are those that only pray when someone asks them to pray. And then there are us, you know, that group of people that pray on a constant basis. They pray, you know, steadfastly. They pray ceaselessly. You know, they pray because this is what God has commanded them to do. And then there are those that only pray when they get ready to eat. And some don't even pray then. But we need to realize we need to pray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verses 4, how often should we pray? It says here in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Always. How often do you remember your brothers and sisters in Christ? When do you pray for them? You know, I appreciate the ones that pray for those that ask for prayer. And I appreciate the ones that make mention, I'm continuing to pray for you. I'm continuing to pray for your family. But what about the ones, and you don't have to say that you're praying for someone, but what about you that are not praying always for saints? Praying for the work of the local congregation that you're a member of. What are you doing? Are you waiting on someone else to pray for you? You know, there are some people that will say that they're praying for you. You need to tell them, well, you need to get your life right. Or those that are members of the Lord's church that you know that are living wrong, you tell them to get in a position, get their life in a condition that they can pray to God. Because we solicit prayers. We need prayers. We need one another to pray for one another. Because this is what God is pleased with. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6 to verses 18. Ephesians chapter 6 to verses 18. The importance of prayer. Prayer is very important. It is merely a petition unto God. Communicating with Him. This is our way to communicate with Him, and His way to communicate with us is by answering our prayers and also reading His Word. Some people say, I don't know what to pray. Pray His Word back to Him. You can't go wrong by doing that. You'll learn how to pray. You'll get in the habit of praying. Young man was asked by his mother, "Have you prayed?" And he said, "Why? I'm not a Christian. It's not going to do me any good to pray." See, when a man realizes that he is not in a position to pray, he needs to get himself in that way. So how often should we pray? Ephesians chapter 6 in the verse is 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Always. Always. And you can't go wrong with always, can you? You know, we take the communion as often as you partake of this bread and this cup. As often as you do. And that, we know, is upon what? Every first day of the week. But how often are we supposed to pray? Always. Don't give up. Continue to pray. In the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And as we go through this lesson, I want you to examine your prayer life. I want you to think about how often do you pray. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." Always again. You know, you say, well, this is Paul. And every time Paul mentioned that he's praying for somebody, he said, "I'm always praying for you." Paul is always, and he was, shall I say, always thinking about the Lord's church. Thinking about the ones that were weak, thinking about the ones that were strong, realizing that both needed to be encouraged. We can find that today. That we all need to be encouraged, and we all need prayer, and we all need somebody to pray for us as we pray for ourselves. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, the verses 3. "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Always. Well, how are we going to pray always for one another? It's very simple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You get a phone call and the brother or the sister asks, "Have you prayed for me today?" I'm just now getting around to it. I've been praying for somebody else. Now I'm getting around to praying for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Does it mean that we need to go through our whole day, every time we look around we're praying? Not necessarily. But we need to understand that we need to take time to pray. Just like you take time to eat, you need to take time to pray. You know, eating is not one of my favorite pastimes, but I like to eat. I also like to pray. I like to give my time back to God. God has given us so much. He has communicated with us so well concerning His Word and the things that we need to do. We need to communicate back with Him. Instead of, try this. When you pray, instead of asking God for things, why don't we stop and thank Him for what He has already given us? Because we as a people, we are the most ungrateful ones that have walked the face of this earth. And I'm talking about those that live here in the United States of America. We are ungrateful. We are unthankful. And we need to stop and take time to thank our God for what He has done for us. We have the freedom to worship Him. We have the freedom to pray to Him. I know that there were so many that got mad when they took prayers out of the schools. But you know, those very ones that got mad because they took prayers out of the schools, they did not have prayer in the homes. So what we need to do is we need to get back to praying in the home. And if we pray in the home, then our children will take the time to pray in the schools. So we need to do what is right. How should we pray? See, there are so many people that don't know how to pray. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. How should we pray? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. This is just a model prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. He was teaching his disciples how to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now let's just stop right there. We don't even need to read the rest, but I want you to understand something. We address God in our prayers. Did Jesus say, when you pray, pray to me? No, he didn't say that. Did he say, pray to any other man? No, he didn't say that. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. So you don't have to, you know, start your prayer out like this. This is just an example. But you are praying and we are praying unto God. And if we get that through our heads, we will know what to do and we will know how to do it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the verse is 15. Well, we're not going to cover everything concerning prayer. Just a few things that we may get an understanding of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So, how should we pray? We should pray in the Spirit. We should pray with an understanding. You know, it's hard to pray to God and ask God for something that we know good and well we don't need. But you know, we have people doing that. Lord, give me this brand new car. And you know, I'm going to worship you if you give me this car. Obviously, you don't understand. Obviously, you're not doing what God wants you to do. So we need to put God first in our lives, and the things in which we need, God will supply us with them. Yes, the Scriptures teach us, He will give us the desires of our heart. But you know, the desires of our heart sometimes can be evil. And God is not going to grant us with any evil thing. In the book of James chapter 1, James chapter 1, the verse is 6. James 1, the verse is 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. When we ask God for something, we need to have faith that God is going to grant us the things in which we're asking for. You know, you don't ask God for something and go back the next minute or the next hour or the next day and say, Lord, I know you wasn't going to give that to me. I don't know why I asked you. God is the one that can grant you your request. Do not waver when you ask Him for something. Leave it in His hands. Let Him tend to it. If it be His will, He will grant us our request. If it be His will not to, He will not. And if we just need to wait and see, that's what we need to do. In the book of Psalm 95, the verses 2, 95, 2, the book of Psalm, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Come unto Him with thanksgiving. Lord, thank You for this day. You know, how many of us, before we roll out of bed in the morning, pray to God? Or how many of us, after we roll out of bed, roll right over on our knees and pray to God? Or how many of us, while we're getting dressed, you know, doing our morning rituals, how many of us take time to pray to God, thanking Him for what He's done for us? And then when you lay down at night, how many of you thank Him? God, thank You for allowing me to get through this day. No matter how hectic the day was, no matter how many trials and tribulations you had to go through, how many of you took the time to thank God for those days? You know, there's a saying that we somewhat adopted through the years. Because there are so many people today that are worrying about things that are out of their control. But yet, in the same sense of them worrying, or the same time that they're worrying, they say that they're praying. If you're going to worry, do not pray. And if you pray, do not worry. Everything is going to be all right if you just trust in God. Some things we just need to leave in His hands. What should we pray for? What should we pray for? Lord, give me $1 million. Lord, send me the most beautiful woman that has ever walked the face of this earth. Lord, send me a man, a handsome man. You know, if we had $1 million, what would we do with it? And if you had the most beautiful woman, what would you do with her? Or if you had the most, you know, the most handsome man that ever walked the face of the earth, what would you do with him? Those are three things I think need to be locked up. $1 million need to be in the bank. Your beautiful woman need to be, you should keep at home, because if she's the most beautiful woman that ever walked the earth, everybody's going to be trying to get her. Only going to give you troubles. And if you had the most handsome man, every woman is going to be looking at him. And then, should I say it? Yes, I should. Even some men are going to be looking at him. You need to keep those three things locked up. So therefore, you don't need them, do you? Let's just thank God for what He has given us. My wife used to tell the young men that come by the house and spend some time with us, and they say, "Oh, I need a girlfriend, Miss Spencer or Miss Anita." She said, "You need to find you an ugly girl." They don't like that. You know, if you're going to pray for something that you can, you know, somewhat change, or something that you can really use, and something that you don't have to have locked up. In the book of Psalm chapter 50, the verses 14 through 15. What should we pray for? What should we pray for? Verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thou vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. First off, what he's saying, you come to him with thanksgiving. And then those of you that are having trouble, he says, pray that you may be delivered from your troubles. Lord, whatever's going on in my life, first off, I want to thank you for it. Second, Lord, if you can deliver me from this, I would be the most grateful person that's standing before your throne right now. Again, what is the answer? Could be yes, could be no, or could be you need to be going through what you're going through. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed that God may remove that thorn, didn't he? But what did God say to him? My grace is sufficient. Some things will never change. Some things, although we're praying for them, God is not going to remove them, but God is going to allow us to endure them, that we may continue to glorify Him. Psalm 118, verse 25. Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. You know, we're looking for some things, Lord. We want to be blessed. We want to be comfortable, Lord, in the way we're living. Send me these things. Is that a harm? Is that a sin to pray that you may be comfortable in your life? Remember Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table. See, we have to understand, first off, who is God? He is our Creator. He is the Almighty. He's the one that can grant these requests. But we have to ask in the right manner. Amen. In Psalm 122, to verses 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray for peace. You know, that's what we do sometimes, right? We pray for peace. Lord, that the wars may end. That our soldiers may come back home. We're praying this to you, God. And what does God do? He allows one war to end and the soldiers do go back home. But then there's another war. You know, a lot of times things happen in our lives because when we are put in the position or God grants us the things that we have and we think that everything is all right, and what we do is we tend to forget about God. We forget who He is and what He has done for us, and then He makes us remember. Remember what I did for you back when. You need to turn back to me before it is too late. In the book of Psalm chapter 10 verse 1. In the book of Psalm chapter 10 verse 1. What must we pray for? Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Here, he's praying to God and asking, why are you not near me, Lord? Why are you not delivering me? Why are you not here by my side? You know, it's not God that leaves. It's man. God is there. We just have to recognize His presence. But he asked the question, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? See, God does not, He will not allow His children to suffer no more than they can bear. But we have to understand that we need to depend on Him for our every need. And here's a big one. Because sometimes we forget who we should pray for. I'm not praying for him. Let him suffer what he's going through. He got himself in that fix. Let him get himself out of it. We need to pray for everybody. Let us not be selfish in our prayers. You know, the president, we need to pray for him. No matter who is in authority, we need to pray for them. That God may allow them to make the right decisions in life, that we may live a peaceable life. In Romans chapter 15, the verse 30. In Romans 15, the verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Well, Paul said, pray for me. As I pray, you pray for me. Now how many Christians that you know of that you can go to and say, can you just take a minute out of your time and pray with me? And they'll do so. Or how many will tell you they don't have time to pray with you? You know, a lot of times individuals do not want to pray with you because their lives is not in order. They're not doing the things that God would have them to do. They're not the people that God would have them to be. So instead of asking them to pray with you, you need to be praying for them that they may get their lives in order, that they can pray, as did Simon in Acts chapter 8 when he asked Peter to pray for him. He knew that his life was not right, and he asked Peter to pray for him, as we need to ask people sometimes to pray for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in the verses 11, Second Corinthians 1, verse 11. He also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Scripture after scripture, teach us to pray for certain things and who to pray for. Now, if you don't need prayer, I encourage you to get up right now and leave if you don't need prayer. If there's nothing going wrong in your life where you never had to ask God for something, you are truly a special person. Because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did no sin, prayed to the Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. We already read it. We're going to read it again. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for your best friends, your enemies, your children, your mother, your father. No, for all men. All men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. All that are in authority. You know that, you know, we don't have a king here in the United States, do we? But we have a president. We have governors. We have mayors. We have leaders in the city. We need to pray for these men, although many of them are not Christians. Many of them may never become Christians, but we need to pray for them anyway. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for them. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 13. Who shall we pray for? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Pray for the sick. If you yourself are sick, pray. If you are married, the Bible says pray. So we find that we need to pray for ourselves, and then when we can't pray for ourselves and we're sick, we need to call on the elders of the church and allow them to come and to pray for us. There's no harm in that. There's no harm in calling someone and saying, hey, do you mind praying for me? Or do you mind praying with me? I received a phone call many, many miles away. And the question was, will you pray for me? Yes, I will. As a matter of fact, let's do it right now. Long distance prayer. But you know, that prayer, if it's an effectual prayer, is going up to God. There are some that they say their prayer is not going any higher than the ceiling. This is the highest ceiling right here. Just to have your prayer to go up to it and bounce back down, isn't it? We need to get our lives right. Look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Healed now. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Where do we start? We started with Elijah praying that it may rain. And what did it do? It rained because Elijah was a righteous man. He prayed that it might rain and it rained. So we have to understand our lives need to be in order. Our prayers need to be heard. We got to run through this real quick. Write them down if you can. What hinders our prayers? When we ourselves are unforgiving, our prayers are being hindered in Matthew chapter 6, the verses 15. You know that you have done something wrong and you haven't forgiven someone, but you're going to go to God and you're going to pray to Him for something. The Bible says, no, your prayer is not going to be heard. You need to get your life right. You need to do what you're supposed to do in order for your prayer to be heard unto God. In James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, the prayer, you know, of a person that has unbelief, that person that is wavering, that person that is not steadfast in doing God's will, his prayer is being hindered. His prayer is being hindered. And this is nobody here, I'm sure. We don't have any selfish people in the audience this morning. A selfish person, his prayer is being hindered, according to James chapter 4, verse 3. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Disobedience hinders our prayers. Disobedience. What do you mean disobedience? I mean when you're not following the will of God, your prayer is being hindered. When you are living in sin, when you're committing sin, your prayer is not being heard. Not being recognized by God. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 2 through 5. Idols allow our prayers to be hindered. How many of us have an idol in our life? Something that we're worshiping that is not God. We put something before God, but yet we're still trying to pray to Him. God is not hearing that. God wants to be first. He deserves to be first because He is our Creator. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. When we forget the poor, God does not hear our prayers. Lord, let me get more. Lord, let me have more. Why? You're not helping the ones out that's there with you now. Why do I need to give you more when you are not giving what you have to help others out? But that's what we do. Lord, I need a better job. No, you need to learn how to survive on the job that you have. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. We're going to read this one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Jesus says here, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thou brother hath aught against thee. Now we want our prayers to be heard by God, don't we? But here we are praying to Him, and all of a sudden we remember that we have done something to somebody. He says, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Can we put that into practice today? Can we truly say that when we remember that we have done something to somebody, that we quit talking to God and we go and we get that right with them, and then we come back and we say, God, now I'm asking you to forgive me for what I've done to that person, and I'm asking you, Lord, to remember that sin no more. And I'm thanking you, God, for all that you've done and for allowing me to be in my right mind to go to that person and get that right. And then you can go into your little ritual by asking for the things that you probably really don't need, but ask for them anyway. We need to do what God says. We need to be reconciled. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. What hinders our prayers? Sin. Very simple. Sin hinders our prayers. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sin, your wickedness have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your child comes to you and asks you for something, and you say, I'm not listening to you. I don't want to hear what you have to say, because you're mad at your child. Until they come back and say, Mom, Dad, I know I did wrong and I apologize for that. You know, I'm asking that you forgive me for it. We know children don't talk like that though, right? Mommy, I'm sorry. Daddy, I'm sorry. And then you know what Mom and Dad do with them? Some still go ahead and put something on them. The other ones shower them with gifts. See, this is the type of God that we worship. Sometimes He go ahead and punishes us, and then sometimes He shower us with gifts. Now, we like the latter, don't we? But you know what we need sometimes? We need to be punished. But God want us to pray to Him. He want us to be His children. He want us to do the things that's right. If you're not a child of God and you've been calling yourself praying, all you've been doing is practicing. You know what to say. You know how to say it. But is it acceptable unto God? If you're not a Christian and you want to become one, you want your prayers to be heard. You want your prayers to be recognized. You want your prayers to be answered. We ask that you make that step, as the three did on Wednesday night.
Amen.
You come forth, make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and have your sins washed away in the water grave baptism. And then live a faithful life. Live a pleasing life. Have a communication with God. One that can be recognized. One that can be, you know, said, this is my good and faithful servant. I'm going to hear what they have to say. If you're here today and you fall into that category, the opportunity is yours to get it right, to get your life in order. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian and you've been praying to God, but you know that your sin has not allowed your prayers to go no higher than your lips. We ask that you turn back to God. You pray to Him, ask Him to forgive you for your sins. Ask the congregation to pray for you that you may be strengthened. As we come, stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.